And welcome back to Katie's Crib. In this episode, you guys, we are going to talk about the pelvic floor. What is even happening down there? I sure as hell don't know. We spend so much time worrying about the baby, but what about us? What about the moms? So we have two guests today who are going to help break down what every new mom needs to know about the pelvic floor post-birth. First, we're going to be talking to Stephanie Prendergast. She is a physical therapist and the co-founder of the Pelvic Health and Rehabilitation Center. And then I'm going to be talking to Priya Campbell-Sirago. She is a birth doula and a pelvic floor specialist who takes more of a holistic and embodied approach to pelvic floor rehab. So let's get started. You guys, we are on the topic of the pelvic floor, which I have slowly begun to realize that the reason I was most excited about recording this episode about this topic is that it's just secretly my way of talking about my own pelvic floor of what's going on, because maybe I've been a little bit scared to make an appointment and see what's going on. Stephanie, I am so happy you're here. You are one of the tops of this situation, and I am so excited to meet you and talk about my pelvic floor, but also I'm sure this will be super helpful to our listeners. So welcome, Stephanie Prendergast. Did I say your last name correctly?
You did, and thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to be here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my background is I'm a physical therapist, but since 2001, I've been specializing in pelvic floor disorders. And so in relevance to this podcast, we deal with a lot of women during pregnancy to try to optimize their pelvic floor for delivery, make them more comfortable, as well as help
rehab them after. You see women during pregnancy and before too?
We do. Wow. We do. And in recent years, people are coming in more to get a better control of their pelvic floor muscles before birth. But historically, it used to be that women would come in with complaints if they had pelvic girdle pain or incontinence or some sort of pain issue may have led them to PT before. Mm-hmm. But now that women are becoming more informed, we also can help women prepare themselves, have the confidence they need to go into labor and delivery, knowing their body is as ready for it as it can be.
Oh my, I mean, literally, why did I not go to you before? Before having a baby. This is insane because, I mean, before I had a baby, I was the person who would like sneeze, and if it caught me off guard and I had a super full bladder, like a little bit of pee might come out. And I know a lot of friends that are in the same boat. And we don't really talk about it much. So can you tell us about the Pelvic Health and Rehabilitation Center?
Yes. So we have been a company since 2006. Mm-hmm. We have four offices in the Bay Area. I practice in our Los Angeles location, and we also have two offices on the East Coast in New England.
Whoa.
We specialize in men, women, and children, transgender, all sexes, all ages. These problems can start affecting people in their teenage years or in the pediatric years with bedwetting and constipation, and continue all the way through menopause. So we're happy to specialize in solely these disorders and treat everybody across the lifespan.
Whoa! Okay. Tell us a little bit about what the pelvic floor muscles do. Like, let's talk about the pelvic floor muscles, like what they do normally, and then what do they do during pregnancy and maybe labor?
Great. So most people don't even know they have a pelvic floor. The muscles run from your pubic bone to your tailbone, and they're responsible for kind of a lot of big deals. They help us maintain continence, urinary and bowel, as well as let us evacuate urine and stool. Mm-hmm. They're responsible for sexual function, for orgasm, and for keeping keeping our organs supported. So they also provide
and also
support,
our orgasms supported.
And they keep our organs
awesome.
Supported too.
Okay, why am I in the gym working so hard on my biceps and I'm not in this gym like working so hard on these pelvic floor muscles that do all the things you just described?
That's a great question. Most women, until you've had a baby, don't necessarily need to strengthen their pelvic floor muscles because they are always under some sort of tone. It's one of the only muscles in the body innervated by a nerve that has autonomic function, meaning you don't have to think about it most of the time. You're not going to leak if you sneeze because you have reflexes.
It's just holding it, and it's holding in your organs.
All day.
Like, it just does it.
So it is big myths in Cosmo and these other magazines that suggest younger women should be doing Kegels to improve their orgasm. That is simply not true.
What?
Right.
You guys, I'm running out the door. Wait a second. That is not true?
Regular activity often strengthens our pelvic floor muscles from day-to-day activities. There's always some tone. And in younger women and women who have not given birth, most of the time they do not need to strengthen their pelvic floors. when you do have a baby and you've basically run a marathon with your pelvis, all those hours that you're in labor, pushing the baby through the pelvic floor, now the muscles are lengthened, they're weakened, there may actually be neuropathy. Then
What's neuropathy? Sorry.
Yep. When you're trying to push the baby through the second stage of labor, there's a lot of tension both on the pelvic floor muscles and also the pudendal nerve that innervates them. And in certain cases, there can be transient issues with the pudendal nerve. Sometimes it can be more serious than that, depending on what has happened during the birth. Wow. But if you think about it, of course you need rehabilitation after going through everything that
if you sprained your ankle, you're doing physical therapy. And this is even bigger, and yet we're supposed to just like carry on, folks.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
No.
So I think you started to hit on this a little bit, but so having a baby, I guess in my terms, Katie's terms, pelvic floor just gets blown out. But even if you don't give birth vaginally, like, because what I'm learning is that the pelvic floor has held up additional weight for 10 months, which is makes it also exhausted.
This is true. So okay. Regardless of the method of delivery, the pelvic floor is involved in a number of changes that happen during pregnancy period. But it's so surprisingly resilient. It just often needs a little bit, or I should say women would function better with a more appropriate rehab after, to just help get things more normalized after the changes that happen.
Why is this, like, does insurance cover this? Like,
it does. It is just in the last month that the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology is acknowledging that maternal postpartum care in the United States is last in line of all industrialized countries. We were given 1 6-week postpartum checkup visit to check for postpartum depression, make sure you don't have an infection, make sure your uterus is returned to normal size, and that's it. See you later. So finally, they're acknowledging the fourth trimester needs to be more comprehensive than that. Women need more visits than we've been given.
And that are covered by insurance.
Right.
Like, we need more visits for physical health, obviously mental check-ins for postpartum.
People don't realize that most physicians, unfortunately, have been paid one lump sum for pregnancy and delivery, and that includes one postpartum visit and has not included any additional visits that a mother may need if it had anything to do with her birth. So that's an interesting thing that I don't think many people know.
It's like I just got punched in the gut, and it makes perfect sense because you guys, like, you know, when you, right before you have the baby, you're in your OB's office all the time getting these stress tests. They're monitoring the heart. They're monitoring your health, all this stuff. And then as soon as the baby's out, it's like the biggest breakup divorce ever. And it's in no way, shape, form, like, my OB's fault. She's just like, great, thanks so much. Like, I'll see you in 6 weeks. And you're like, wait, what? I'm sitting on a donut and I'm in a diaper. Like, hold up a second. I'm super confused.
And most women feel that way. In a recent survey, the majority of women feel like their concerns, their care was not adequately addressed during that 6 week visit. And most people felt like they were kind of floundering. Mm-hmm. I mean, rightfully so. In other countries, and as early as 1985, women were required in countries like France to have 10 postpartum pelvic floor physical therapy visits. Required. And this is
why don't we get this?
Because insurance companies have been in the way and dictating coverage in the United States.
Wow.
That's exactly why. Because other countries understand the impact that the birth and then the support that mothers need is greater than what we've been given so far. So hopefully we're on the cusp of change.
So you think maybe this new, we admit that there is something called a fourth trimester, could maybe lead us on a path towards maybe better care?
It's supposed to set the guidelines for all OBGYNs and the standard of care in America. Now, whether insurance companies decide that they're going to pay for it or not is going to be interesting, because it's being strongly suggested that they do.
Great. So when do women typically come to see you? Are most of your clients patients postpartum? Are they the majority, I would assume?
Well, in our practice, we actually see a wide range of things. What's interesting about this is because pelvic floor physical therapy historically has not been included in the standard of postpartum care, many women find us on their own when something's wrong.
Yeah.
They have stress incontinence, they have severe vaginal pain, they have rectal pain, urinary urgency frequency, they can't evacuate their stools, they can't orgasm, and they're furious. Why didn't my doctor tell me is what happens. Now, in more recent years, with the presence of social media and things like that, many women are finding out that they should be going to pelvic floor PT, even if they're not noticing immediately the bothersome symptoms that I mentioned.
I'm definitely going. Like, next week, what's available?
Because obviously, think about what pregnancy and birth entails. This is a no-brainer, but it just hasn't been standard of care until now.
No, it's really never made so much sense to me. Like you say, if you ever had a sprained ankle, you would go to the doctor and go to all the visits you'd need until, you know, your dislocated shoulder was back or whatever it was needed. And wow. So can you take us through a little bit what happens in a first appointment with you?
Yes, and I hope you won't be nervous when you come to see me.
You're making me feel way better.
So we take a history. We also want to hear what your urinary bowel sexual function was like before pregnancy, because there can also be factors that may have influenced your delivery and things that are influencing your rehab now. Mm-hmm. We do a manual examination that includes looking at the abdominal area for what's called a diastasis recti. Many women associate that with mommy tummy, which is when the muscles separate naturally due to the advancing pregnancy. Sometimes they reduce on their own, sometimes they don't. Right. It's important because not only for aesthetic reasons, but it will impair a woman's ability to have optimal pelvic floor muscle function if her abdominal wall is not intact. These muscles work together.
How do you know the percentage of women that happens to?
There's a wide range in the literature, from 30 to 90%. Sometimes it reduces, sometimes it doesn't. And how people measure it has kind of been varied. And so the studies show it's kind of a wide range.
Wow.
And again, some people it closes naturally, some people it doesn't. If it doesn't, it can be associated with stress incontinence, prolapse, and back pain later in life. So it is important to address it even if you don't realize it's there. Wow. We also will examine the other muscles of the pelvic girdle. Typically, the muscles of your hip widen to allow the baby to come out. There may be dysfunction.
What do you mean examine?
So we will manually examine them to see their length, their strength, if they're tender. And the same thing internally. We need to know if you can contract your muscles, if you can relax them, if there's pain, if there's been an episiotomy, pain at the C-section scar, and basically making sure the muscles can function as they should.
What do you put in there to see?
So we don't use a speculum. Mm-hmm. We use a single gloved lubricated finger.
Yeah.
And we also use that as feedback to help the mother figure out where her muscles are in space, because it's kind of like a big black box to many people. And often in the postpartum period, it can be what I call a hybrid, where some muscles are tight and some are overstretched, and we've got to really do specific things to help get that functioning again as a unit.
Whoa. So you're literally laying on a table with someone's finger in your vagina.
Correct.
A gloved, lubricated finger in your vagina, and then you go through exercises and you try to really help someone feel inside themselves like different areas of the vagina and strengthen it, like do reps almost, like
yes.
Like a workout.
And it's interesting because the majority of women who are told to Kegel actually do them incorrectly. And a percentage of them.
I definitely do them incorrectly. Like definitely.
In a way that could make things worse.
What?
So,
oh
yes.
My God, you guys, I'm literally losing my mind right now.
So we need to help fix that.
What? Yeah. This is just completely blowing my mind. So how is physical therapy different from how a doctor might address pelvic floor disorder?
So it's interesting because most gynecologists will tell you that they had very little pelvic floor training in medical school. And that is shocking since they have to push right through those muscles to get to the cervix and the uterus and all the things that are important. So a physical therapist is going to more specifically examine each of the muscles and different areas of the pelvic floor, the pudendal nerve, and tissue. So when doctors come into play is usually when things are more dire. And
like
you will hear
a
pelvic
prolapsed
floor reconstruction
bladder
specialist.
Or a prolapsed rectum. Or wait, what did you just say?
So they're considered surgeons of pelvic floor reconstruction. And
is
so,
that a surgery that you have to be like put out for?
Yes. You have to go under anesthesia. If there is significant bladder prolapse, uterine prolapse, rectal, it may require surgical reconstruction. Usually this is something that happens later in life that could be prevented if we put the pelvic floor muscles back
into working
order
sooner. I think this totally happened to
sooner.
Some of the older women in my family, though, I've heard, like things just falling out and needing hysterectomies and things like that. And so possibly had they done pelvic floor work earlier on, that might not have been the case.
Because the number one risk factor for pelvic organ prolapse later in life is childbirth.
Woo! See, you guys, this is, it's like you're not even here. This is just my appointment with Stephanie Prendergast. You see all sorts of patients and clients. How are issues facing pregnant and postpartum women different? Are they the same? Like when you see a woman who might be about to get pregnant, or a woman who is pregnant, or a woman who is post-pregnancy, mm-hmm. How do you treat them differently?
So with pregnancy, we want to optimize their pelvic floor muscle function, give them the confidence that they're ready to go into labor and delivery, and just help support the birth that they want. Mm-hmm. Prepare them with things that maybe feel different after, so when it does happen, it's not alarming. And basically provide education to the pregnant woman when they can get in, and that can vary from 6 weeks to 5 years postpartum, about doing pelvic floor physical therapy afterwards. Again, if there's more acute issues that happen during delivery, like women are in retention or they can't pee on their own, more significant medical things, then we can help sooner rather than later in the postpartum period. But ideally, after the six-week checkup with the OB, which is now 3 weeks, women, once cleared, can start physical therapy that soon. My observation is they're overwhelmed with the baby, especially first-time moms. Just know we're there when they're ready. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard when they need weekly appointments and we're telling them more to do, and obviously they have to care for another human.
Yeah, and their weekly appointments are their first, you know, they're with their pediatrician and it's all about the baby.
Everything
and
is chaotic.
What are the different types of pelvic pain and disorders that you treat? I think you've listed all of them, but in case we missed any real fun sounding ones.
So pregnancy related, I mean, it's astounding because at 18 months in a very large study, there was still 65% of women who had painful intercourse regardless of their method of delivery. So that's telling of what happens with
18
the pelvic
floor. Women were still in pain having sex. Oy vey, that's just a nightmare. I mean, we have to help all those women. That's not okay. I'm not down with that.
High percentage. And so even if there's non-obstetric related disorders, we do treat a lot of painful intercourse. People can have provoked or unprovoked vaginal pain, clitoral issues, interlabial itching, rectal problems. Urinary urgency frequency feels like it's an infection when in fact it's the muscles.
Oh, you
and
feel
the
like
nerves.
You have a UTI or something and you don't. Something else is going on. Whoa.
Often the pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. What's the labia one?
So interlabial itching is a common symptom that women can get, or what's called unprovoked or provoked vulvodynia. So women can have pain in that area also unrelated to childbirth, but childbirth can also provoke some of these changes that do need treatment.
Mm-hmm. How does someone with a prolapsed bladder or uterus or rectum, like, can it be fixed through physical therapy, or does everyone end up having to have surgery? Or do you recommend if someone might have had a prolapse after baby one but they plan on having another baby, like, what do you do?
Good question. So it can vary, and there's multiple factors that affect prolapse, including genetics, weight, other metabolic things, diabetes and whatnot, but the pelvic floor is a big one, and that's the one we can control. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody has impaired pelvic floor muscle function and core function together, it's not just about the pelvic floor, they will be more likely to develop prolapse as time goes on, because the muscles provide some support to those organs, but so do the ligaments. And again, we can't control the ligaments, that's our genetic composition, but we can improve our pelvic floor muscle function to kind of take up the slack of gravity, of natural age-related changes, etc. Mm-hmm. If a woman does have prolapse immediately postpartum, it is not advised to have surgery until they are done having children. Mm-hmm. And so depending on the severity of it, like they score prolapse 1, 2, 3, 4 in the most oversimplified version of this. Mm-hmm. Categories 1 and 2 can be helped with physical therapy. Categories 3 and 4 mean that organs are coming towards the opening of the vagina or out of the vagina itself. And those are almost always a surgical situation, but can still benefit from getting as rehabbed as possible before, and also addressing your function after, just like with any other surgery in any other part of the body. You want to go into that as prepared as possible.
I have a friend who had a prolapse, who has a prolapsed bladder and wants to have another baby, and she did a lot of physical therapy, but was also playing around with like maybe a diaphragm or putting something up mm-hmm. there that could hold her stuff in until, I messing, is that a thing?
It's called a pessary. Yes. And so those are there devices.
There you have it, folks.
Over the counter now, Poise makes almost like a super tampon called the Impressa, mm-hmm. which you can purchase over the counter that can help provide some support if it's a minor prolapse. Mm-hmm. And then a medical device called a pessary is something that your gynecologist or urogynecologist can fit to help provide support to the organs. Once you take it out, the organs are going to come back down, but they can provide a basis of support while people are trying to either delay surgery or do other things in life.
This is a really stupid question, but like, if you're having a prolapse and your bladder is like out, which I have another friend that was the case, isn't there major risk of infection? Or like, if your bladder's just hanging out of your vagina hole, like how, on like a cotton underwear, like, is that dangerous?
I've been doing this for 18 years and I still don't think, I think the same way you do. Every time I see a uterus on my table, I'm like, that doesn't
Wait,
really
you
look
see a uterus on your table?
Yes, this has happened.
Oh!
Guys, I'm literally losing my shit
just,
right
to
now.
To me, it doesn't look like that's okay, but apparently it's kind of okay. I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, I'm sitting on my bladder, literally. Yes. Like, I have a friend that it's coming out of her vagina.
Yeah,
guys.
Literally.
Yo, having a baby is so fucking crazy. Like, this is crazy. Like, we're literally having a conversation about carrying your bladder around outside your body. But, like, so that is the thing, and it's okay?
It doesn't cause as much risk of infection as you would think. And even still, I think it just does not look okay to me.
Wow.
And so usually we do advise that women use a pessary and work with their doctors about surgical intervention.
What are some of the telltale signs that women might be facing post-baby that would be like, okay, you should go see you?
If you can't, leaking urine is never normal, but extremely common.
Oh, no, you guys.
Yes. So if you've had a baby, I think everybody should be evaluated. But I mean, things like leaking urine may not be bothersome, but that's indicative that there's something wrong. Mm. Opposite end, urinary urgency frequency, diminished orgasm, painful sex, difficulty with bowel movements, all of those factors can be addressed. And not to mention the more simple things like hip pain and back pain and, you know, sciatica, some of the normal things I feel like we haven't even covered.
But those are things you guys cover too.
Yes.
Because sciatica, I didn't have that a lot during my pregnancy, but I heard about it constantly from all the women in my like yoga class or in my swim club. Like, that is a big trigger thing that a lot of women, it's like very debilitating.
Yes, because your pelvic muscles start to get tighter as your ligaments loosen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can push on your sciatic nerve, causing symptoms down the leg, and it's very painful and you can lose some motor control. So it's important to address it.
For the women like me, well, that thing incontinence is like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like I was saying, I was at a holiday party and I got a little drunk and I was jumping up and down on a dance floor. And every single time I jumped and landed, like a little bit of pee came out. And I was like, that's totally fine. I just had a baby. Mm-hmm. For those of us that are in a similar boat where you would think that's normal, you're saying that's not normal.
Not normal, but very common.
Oh, but can't we just pretend it's normal?
No.
So that I don't have to address it and I can just live in denial that everything is fine.
Well, think about it this way. What if it continues to get worse and
jumping? You're so what right. And that's why we're doing an episode about this, guys. You're going through a visit with me. And also you would say similarly, anyone, thank God this is not me, but people who are having pain during sex, even a little bit of pain, that is not normal as well.
Correct.
What are the kind of pains that women complain about during sex? Is it like a sharp, like, is it a burning, sharp? What are we looking for here?
It's often entry pain, which is like insertional pain for women. There can be issues, neuromas, things at the episiotomy scar. But also the second thing that's very important, and we catch it in pelvic floor PT, is the doctors will often provide you with esterase or a topical hormone to put on that vulvar vestibule area postpartum. And many women actually don't use it. But if you continue to breastfeed and you do breastfeed, then basically that tissue is essentially in menopause and it will become frail and atrophied. And that topical is prescribed for a reason, but as one of my patients said, I couldn't even eat bologna when I was pregnant. Why would I think I could put on a hormone? Good question. Good point.
Yeah.
But they do prescribe that for a reason, and often women are a little worried about it or they don't totally understand why they're getting it. But it's important to know that those tissues will respond to the lack of estrogen that's happening that allows a woman to breastfeed. And so that can be a major leading cause of pain with intercourse is cracking so dry. And tearing and dryness.
This is what I heard mostly from just friends. We were all breastfeeding and yeah, that was the rumor I heard from most friends was like, oh yeah, good luck. You're never getting wet. And I was like, what? And they're just like, your body's in a menopausal state when you're breastfeeding. And so your body doesn't lubricate itself like it would or used to.
And I think that can be a huge side effect. Visit, you may not talk to your doctor about that. You're thinking about a million other things, but people should ask their doctors and know it's safe to use. And then that can help during that breastfeeding period.
Mm, very interesting. Mm-hmm. So tell me the exercises that you, I don't know, would like when people come and see you and you evaluate how they're doing, then is it just tons of homework and daily practice? But is it now that we do Kegels? Like, I know we had talked about Kegels earlier, but would that be something you would suggest once someone learns how to do it correctly with you?
They do. It is, but it's not just the Kegel in isolation. We want to make sure women can control the pelvic floor muscles, but then we actually are giving more individualized exercise based on their entire core. And so some people have a strong transverse abdominis, other people don't. And so it's about lengthening all the muscles that are too tight and strengthening in a coordinated contraction of the core muscles together, which includes the pelvic floor. And especially in Los Angeles, most people are active. And so what we want to do is incorporate specific exercises into their regular routines so they're not having to do even 15 minutes is too much for some women. And so it may be doing a Kegel when you're getting on and off the toilet or when you're bending down to pick up your baby and standing up, like things that you're doing already, we want to teach you how to incorporate safer biomechanics and proper neuromuscular motor control.
I was always told you pee and then these things I have learned from other moms is like so insane, but like you pee and then just stop your pee 2 or 3 times during a pee session. Is that wrong?
No. My face doing? Yes.
You guys, her face is looking at me like she is completely horrified.
That is one way that I think inexperienced people told people how to Kegel. That's not correct. You should never stop your urine stream. It can lead to bladder infections. Then you need to be on antibiotics and you get a yeast infection and now you've got vulvar pain. You don't want to do that. There's other ways that we will teach you.
Who the hell told me that? I don't know, but it was a rumor that I was doing for a little bit.
It is definitely a popular rumor.
So that is not it. What are the exercises that women can do on their own to help their pelvic floor pain? And are there any products or aid other than the, possibly for some people, the lotion that you talked about?
Yes, that's a prescription.
A prescription, which you need.
I think there's a device out there that I personally am a huge fan of. It's called the LV.
Yes! Yes. I just got it, guys. It came in a Mother's Day like swag bag that I got, and I will report back to you guys. It looks like a little vibrator thingy.
It does.
That goes in, and what happens?
And it also, what's interesting about it is it connects to your phone, and it will basically, you're going to start playing video games with your pelvic floor muscles using your LV on your phone. And what I like about it is it confirms that you're doing it properly, which is the number one reason why women don't do Kegels is because they're not even sure if they're doing them properly. Yeah. It will reinforce that you are. It will measure your strength, how fast you are, your control, and it will remind you that you need to do this over time and you can actually document your progress. And so what you'll see with that that you can also tell that your muscles are improving, your symptoms should be going down. And I think for a home tool, that's a really useful.
So the LV, and then also I got from a friend the yoni egg. What is this, like, whatever. Okay, so Stephanie's face is like, meow, 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 meow.
Well, you don't need to hold a weight in your vagina for it to improve. It's really about neuromuscular control with your other muscles. And the idea of just squeezing independently around a weight for a period of time is questionable. Okay. And so is the cleanliness of that. Is there's been some debate about if it can actually promote an infection or not.
Oh, God. I have not tried the yoni egg, but I have one next to my bedside. I think it's pink. I have to admit, how do women feel about, like, see, I'm going to try to avoid this and not come to you because I'm going to be super embarrassed that I have to go and, like, have some person's finger in my vagina and, like, do exercises. How do you talk or, make women feel comfortable? Is it the kind of thing, like, once you get started, it's just not a big deal and women don't care? Or is it a really big hang up for some? Like,
I'd say more often than not, it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many moms have already been through so much.
We're not that different.
And we're not in big gyms. I mean, particularly in our clinic, everyone is in a private treatment room. Mm-hmm. I think hopefully that from the moment people call, our staff knows people are calling with sensitive issues. And so from the beginning, hopefully the education process starts to make people feel more comfortable, but it's really helpful to know that you do feel nervous. And my question for you would be, what can we do to make it easier?
Oh, thanks, Stephanie. Well, I think I just have to bite the bullet and like do it. And I also have to kind of change my, you know, what I think is so interesting about this work is that, you know, you're raised, your vagina is your private part. It's like really like, you know, sensitive and brings up a lot of different feelings. So to come at it at a more kind of physical therapy way, which is like, no, this is a muscle that mm-hmm. you need to take care of, like the other muscles in my body. You know, I was all about when I was pregnant, like, you know, I was all about doing a million squats because I had heard that like my legs were going to be so important during labor because they're my strongest muscles I've got and I'm going to be pushing like crazy. And it didn't even occur to me once that my pelvic floor was something that was going to take such a hit and was going to be something that needed to be worked on. But yeah, I think it's like putting on my big girl pants and I just have to go, and after a minute I'll tell you guys and I'll be like, it was so not a big deal.
If it makes you feel any better, all the people that are pelvic floor physical therapists, how do you think we learn? On each other.
Right.
Right. So every time we hire a new employee, guess whose hands are in my pelvic floor?
Really?
Yes. So hopefully that will ease it a little bit because we've all been through it and wow. That's how they learn. And so.
And what's crazy
is. It's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah. And also every single thing I felt with pregnancy you thought was a big deal and then wasn't. Like I remember when someone was like, you have to get an internal exam, and me being like, oh my god, this is gonna be so terrible, and they did it and I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad. And, you know, it's almost so much bigger in my brain than when I do it. It's just not. Mm-hmm. Let's do some advice to expecting mothers that aren't having any issues, and let's talk, and then let's give some advice to women who are having issues.
So the expecting mothers, I think just knowing this information, they may not feel normal at that 6-week checkup or now 3 weeks. And that's typical. Mm-hmm. Their bodies go through a lot, both with pregnancy and delivery. And regardless of the time that they do come in, once they do, I think that they can learn enough to make sure that they are taking care of themselves for the rest of their lifespan and just addressing issues that may arise. Very treatable. We try to make it functional, easily integrated into your life as it already is. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give you one more thing that's going to make you feel incompetent. And the one thing moms say often is that they just don't feel like, you know, they're doing as well enough job as they can. So yeah. Our role is to set new moms up for success.
This is like so mind-blowingly helpful. I can't even thank you enough for being here. And I'm going to keep all of you listeners have like so updated on my pelvic floor health in case you're interested in care. Stephanie, with all my heart for being here and for being on Katie's Crib.
Hello, Priya.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is, guys, my selfish attempt of just getting to hang out with Priya and ask her all the personal questions I want to ask about my pelvic floor. I'm so fascinated by this subject because the pelvic floor is like a whole thing that I never thought about before. It just got completely wrecked. Mm-hmm. During childbirth. What does having a baby do to the pelvic floor muscles? Where do they go? Besides bye-bye.
Besides, totally different.
Yeah.
So the pelvic floor muscles, as you can imagine, they're holding the weight of your torso. They're holding the weight of your organs. So when you have a baby growing inside, they start to receive more weight from the baby. So some of the things that can happen is the pelvic floor muscles can stretch out. Which is what causes, you know, when people have pelvic floor weakness from them stretching out. And that can happen from the pregnancy. So even people who have C-sections can have weakened pelvic floor muscles.
Ah, interesting. So even if they didn't give birth vaginally, mm-hmm. your pelvic floor muscles can still be kind of blown out because you've been carrying around, in some cases, a 7, 6, 10-pound baby.
Exactly. Plus all the extra weight from your just, you know.
Gaining weight.
Gaining weight, all the extra fluids in your body from pregnancy. So they can stretch out. They can also over-tighten.
Can they over-tighten?
They'll get strong. They'll, like, tighten to try and hold more of the weight.
I don't know if you experience like tight glutes during pregnancy. So it's the same kind of thing. The glutes are also holding the weight of your torso. So muscles will try and respond to the extra weight by tightening. So, whoa. Yeah. And there can actually be a, like what would be called like a muscle spasm, which is basically where the muscle can't relax, where it's over tight.
That can happen to your pelvic floor?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But that would also, even though the muscles are holding and are tight, it could come across, you could still be experiencing a pelvic floor weakness. Because if you think of like a scar tissue doesn't move. It's almost like it's like a spasm where it's overly tight tissue. Mm-hmm. And there's usually weakness in a place where there's scarring.
So hip most pain, people deal with incontinence in regards to the pelvic floor.
There could also be pain with sex.
Yeah.
So pain with intercourse, and that would be from the over-tightening. And that could both be from the actual physicality of holding the weight and then the muscles overly tightening. It could also be holding emotional trauma. So as we all know, birth is a very intense experience, whether you have a C-section or, you know, pregnancy in and of itself is intense. So the tightening could also be, or the pain could also be from an emotional holding on.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's one.
I can't wait to hear about how you treat all this. So would you say that there are women who are maybe more at risk for a pelvic floor disorder post-birth than others? Like, why do some women have, I mean, like you said, I think you've already listed incontinence can happen because of emotional trauma and how you hold the baby and if you're tight or loose, but are there any preventative measures that women can take that would have the outcome be different or maybe better?
Yeah, I feel like the best thing is to exercise. You know, like weight-bearing exercises are really good. Squats are really good. I'd say in general, people who have a more active lifestyle before they get pregnant or even during pregnancy have a better chance of not having as many problems, but also being able to like bounce back more. Like their body's already kind of accustomed to working out and exercising. So it's easier to kind of get back into that.
So a lot of points for working out.
Ugh. Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee it. Like I've had clients before who are super in shape, who are really into exercise and still have issues afterwards. So, you know, it depends a lot on also how the labor went. You know, sometimes if you have to push and like get the baby out really fast, that could cause some both trauma in the body and also more physical damage.
Sure.
So that would be an example of like someone could be in really good shape but still have a problem. So it's kind of like birth where there's no really any guarantee.
Right.
But, you know, having a healthy lifestyle that's healthy and active you're going to have better chances.
I think we've all heard about Kegel exercises like our whole lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love like I've definitely been in classes though, prenatal yoga classes where women were like, I have to admit, like, I don't even know what the hell that is or how to do it.
Yeah.
Just explain for people who are listening what a Kegel is.
Sure. So they're part of the pelvic floor is the vaginal canal, which is where you have intercourse. And so there's circular muscles, inside of the vagina. So a traditional Kegel would be squeezing that muscle and releasing it.
What about those eggs that people all...
Yeah, the yoni eggs.
The yoni eggs. Yeah. You like put an egg of different sizes depending on how ripped and strong your vagina is. And you put an egg up there and you can hold on to it. Oh, wait. Wasn't this in that movie? 50 Shades of Grey. Doesn't she have to like insert something and like walk around with it at dinner? I don't remember. It's something like that. I'm pretty sure it was like a yoni egg. Can you explain what that is? And does that actually work? Should I like be doing that? And it will help with incontinence? Tell me.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say you can. The yoni eggs are good.
I'm not gonna put it up there and it's gonna get lost forever.
No.
Okay,
I mean, There are ones that have holes in the bottom, and you can thread like
a string through it, like a tampon.
Through it, or you can thread like a piece of floss or something like that. Yeah, so you could pull it
out.
What
if the floss goes missing? This is all getting very scary to me.
Make it hang out. Okay. So yeah, the yoni eggs are really good. One of the reasons they're good is because, like you were saying, she had to walk around with it. You can walk around with it, and your muscles are going to be grabbing onto it without you having to think about it. So that's one thing that's good about the yoni eggs. I think the reason why people have such a hard time with the Kegels is because it's not that, you know, you can say like, oh yeah, squeeze your vagina, but most people, the pelvic floor is it's like a whole landscape world of its own, which is some of the work that I do. I take people more deeply into being able to not just squeeze your vagina and let it go, but to be able to feel muscles in different parts of the pelvic floor, which I call pelvic floor mapping. And it's every place that you're able to find, it gives kind of a different feeling through your body. So, and it's, you have to take people into a very deep, like it's a strange place to feel. It's not just like,
because we spend no time
there. It's not just like
there.
Feel your elbow. It's,
right.
You know, it's really deep in there, and people don't usually spend
any time there
thinking about it, feeling it. And on top of it, people have tons of shame around that area. You know, shame, embarrassment, or whatever. A lot of people store all sorts of
stress
in that area. So it's a difficult place for people to go. Which is why, you know, when someone just says, like, do a Kegel, it's like, what is that? Like, you can't just, let me just move my vagina.
So this is a lot about the work you do, which is how would you phrase it? Is it a holistic approach to pelvic floor health, or?
Yeah. I would say it's an embodied approach. Mm-hmm. It's a mindful approach. So
at what point does a woman make an appointment to see you, generally speaking? Like, do most women come to see you when it's too late? Or
no. No. I mean, I have women who I work with who are like in their 50s and 60s even, mm-hmm. you know. But most people come to me sometime in their like early postpartum time. I've had someone come to me 4 days after their labor, which is fine. This woman in particular was like the worst incontinence case I've seen, where she had to wear diapers. Aww. Like every time she stood up, it was just pee. And she
Please tell me she's gotten
me.
It back.
She's gotten it back. Oh. I worked with her regularly for maybe 3 or 4 months, and then she was like back to wearing a thong.
So what would happen, for example, at a first appointment? Take me through like her story. Like, what do you do when you see a first appointment, someone who has never been to you before?
Like, yeah, I do an intake. So I find out kind of what their birth story was, what are their issues. I ask questions to find out whether there's over tightness or weakness. Mm-hmm. So like painful sex, if someone's having painful sex or just pain in general, I would, you know, diagnose them more in that they're overly tight and they need help with the relaxation side of things.
Ooh, okay,
if someone's having issues with incontinence or any kind of like back or hip pain, then they're going to need
more loose.
The strengthening side.
And then what would you do for either? Like, what are the techniques during a session with you where people are, what would you do for a tight case versus a loose case? Or?
A lot of the exercises are similar because I emphasize both the squeezing, the tightening of the muscles, and the relaxation. Mm-hmm. But with someone who is overly tight, I might just focus on the relaxation side. So I wouldn't bring them into the contracting of the muscles until maybe later on. Sometimes, you know, it's like when you work out and then afterwards you're able to rest more.
Yeah.
So totally. Sometimes even with the people who are overly tight, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to work with the contracting of the muscles just so that you're able to feel the other side, which would be the letting go.
But when you say like work on it, what does that mean? They're like laying on a table.
Yeah. So I have people lay down. I always start people laying down because it's easier to feel when you're doing less. So if you think about, you're like rushing to get out of the house and like you're more likely to drop things and stub your toe or
forget something.
But when you start overly doing or overly working, you're not as aware and you can't feel yourself as much. Mm-hmm. You know, you might like hit your hand on the wall or, you know, So it's the same thing with our bodies. The more you can let go and do less, the more you can feel inside of your body, which is one of the, you know, if you can feel an area of your body, you can work, you can learn to use the muscle in that area of your body.
So you have them lay down, and then what are the workouts?
It's different exercises, but I first always guide people into a state of relaxation and feeling their breath. Again, like with the, where you can feel your breath in your body, you can also feel more, especially in our torso. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, I can feel my toe or whatever, and I'm not necessarily breathing into my toe right now.
Right.
But like in the belly and in the pelvis particularly, if I can get people to start breathing into that area and feeling their breath in that area, then there's a heightened sensing and a heightened awareness, which then means that they have more access to those muscles, both relaxing them and contracting them, working them.
So what do you do that's different, is different from a traditional physical therapist?
So I take people more into a meditative, being able to guide themselves in feeling and sensing and working their muscles from a place of embodiment.
Do they do like reps?
Yeah.
Like you're literally like counting how many times you squeeze?
I don't
squeeze?
Count. I usually will, with different people, I'll do it until I sense that they're getting it. So repeat until I can feel that their body is actually getting what's happening. I also do a lot of verbal check-in because it's such a, like, you know, I can't see their pelvic floor working. So I'd be like, okay, I'll ask, you know, how did that feel? What, like, what were you able to feel? Do you feel your muscles? Also, you know, cues in the body of like, did you feel any warmth? Did you feel tingling? Do you feel, a lot of times when people use their muscles, it's just like a feeling of spaciousness in that area. But I don't know if you experienced this after birth, but a lot of women have like really no sensation down here, like kind of a loss of, or like almost like a empty feeling.
Oh, I don't even, like, I wasn't even alive. Like, I just, I mean, I was like in a diaper, spraying witch hazel on my vagina. Like, I don't even know, like, and I was waddling around and I was sitting on like a donut. Like, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And like, nobody told me.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they did it, I just didn't listen, but like, oh my God. I can remember is I had given birth and it was like maybe an hour later we had had the golden hour at Cedars where I had like skin to skin time with my son and my husband did. And then this lovely nurse like came and stood me up and started walking me over to the toilet and I just started peeing all over the floor. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't even make it there. She was like, wait, we have to put in like a bucket thing or something. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make it there. I just started peeing everywhere. And that's when I was like, oh my, and I couldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the epidural or whatever it was, but I couldn't feel anything. And then I continued peeing on the toilet. And then this lovely lady just started spraying down my private parts with water because you can't wipe. And I was like, what's your name? how long do you typically work with a patient? Like how long? I mean, you said your worst case, like in 4 months, you could even see some sort of, and how often were you seeing this person? Like how often do you, is it once a week? Is
usually
it multiple
see people times? Once a week. Yeah.
Okay.
I do have people who I see twice a week. Mm-hmm. A lot more improvement happens when I see people twice a week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I find, you know, with the postpartum schedule and, you know, everything, it's generally hard for people to schedule
sure.
more than once a week. Even sometimes once a week is really difficult with, you know, breastfeeding and everything. So I recommend twice a week if you really want to get, you know, because also it's hard to practice things on your own. Anything.
If you can't even feel it.
Like any kind of discipline with doing a new practice, I find is difficult without having someone there telling you what to do and holding the space for you. But
how
also,
long is an appointment? An hour?
An hour, yeah.
And
there's going to be check-in time, like, okay, what's going on? What did you do last week? What are you... anything that's changed, you know, and then time for practicing and doing repetitions. And then based on where your progress is, I'll add more, you know, more exercises.
How did you get into this? Like what? This is so, like, how did you get here?
I kind of don't even really know. No,
Did you have your own pelvic floor situation?
No. So my whole life I've been very embodied, mm-hmm. very into my body, mm-hmm. feeling my body. I've always been a dancer. And when I moved to LA, I was intensely studying yoga mm-hmm. and tantra. Mm-hmm. Not the kind of like tantra that you think of like, you know, ooh, it's like a class about having sex, but
that's exactly where my brain went.
Like, learn how to have really good sex. Yeah. No,
But that does come with pelvic floor health, doesn't it?
It does. That's a benefit of the pelvic
floor health. So, like, if I walk around with a yoni egg and my pelvic floor muscles get really strong, like, I'm gonna have better orgasms, is that just fact?
Yeah, well, the thing is, so if you think about...
Well, I've got you here.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, definitely, for sure.
Really?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I've had people who, you know, I'm working with them on other things, like incontinence, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I was so not interested in having sex with my husband, and then, like, we had the best sex ever, like, oh, you know, so it happens.
It's so really connected. Okay, so back
the reason being is that you're bringing, by doing the exercises, you're bringing more blood flow into your pelvic floor, into your vagina. And so basically erectile tissue, like when tissue becomes erectile, either the clitoris becomes erect, or the penis, obviously, there's more sensation in that area. Erectile, all that is there's more blood in the tissue. The tissue gets erect from blood flow.
Whoa.
So if you're having more, if you're able to circulate
more blood
into
more
that area,
then you're going to
have more sensation. Exactly.
So, okay, you studied, okay, back it up. Tantra.
So I studied yoga.
But we're not talking about tantra sex. What are we talking about?
I'm talking about traditional, like very, tantra is a really, it's like one of the first religions from South India.
Whoa.
And so the very old practices, which are based in, obviously it makes your connection with another person or your sexual connection with another person better, but the focus of it being to learn how to circulate energy in your body.
So how did it become that you specifically moved into pelvic floor?
So while I was doing that training, which I went to India twice for and studied at, you know, the ashram with the guru and, you know, learned all these exercises that are, you know, learned exercises for doing, basically what someone might call what are my version of a Kegel, mm-hmm. but they're much deeper and more deeply sensed. So not just like squeeze, release, like not really thinking about it, but really using the breath in coordination with the squeezing and finding the different parts of the pelvic floor. And so in conjunction, what I was doing at the same time was I did a doula training. Mm-hmm. So I started assisting women through childbirth.
This is such one of the many mm-hmm. topics that women feel like embarrassed, ashamed, uncomfortable to talk about. Or is there any advice that you have for women and how to talk about this stuff and how to, I'm assuming it's all connected, like mm-hmm. that if you feel shamed, you're probably, it's going to be a harder road to like get better.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's sounding like the holistic approach is that it's all super connected. Is there any advice that you would give to women who are struggling with incontinence, who may not even have babies yet or struggling and haven't sought out help?
The biggest thing would just be to know that you're not alone and that it's very common. Mm-hmm. And if you're having a hard time talking about it, I would say like find another woman friend to share with about first. Mm-hmm. Just so like, you know, I think that for men, because they don't usually, I mean, some men do have pelvic floor issues. That's definitely not unseen, but I think women experience it more regularly.
Sure.
And so finding a close friend that you can talk to about it, just to start kind of sharing and getting it, you know, sharing helps so much, being able to talk and have someone listen.
Do you find so much mental, like you said, the shame part, that it can be super connected and that's why you have to get them to a meditative state? Is a lot what you do is sort of therapy?
Sometimes I do. It depends on the degree of openness that the person has. I do find that people who can share more about what's going on mm-hmm. will heal more quickly, because it's like it is so connected. And so if you are kind of putting your physical symptoms separate from your emotional experience, it's like you're more disconnected inside of yourself. Like you're kind of creating a disjointedness. And so not that you have to be like, oh my God, I'm having these issues because I had these feel, you know, you don't have to like over dramatize it. But I find that if people are more comfortable just like, oh yeah, this is being honest with themselves, like this was my experience, or this is how I'm feeling, or I'm feeling horrible about this, or I feel really regretful that this happened, or, you know, that you're going to have an easier time healing because you're not bottling everything up inside.
Sure.
Yeah.
What are the exercises that you recommend people doing?
So I always work with, the first thing I always work with people on is breathing into their belly and learning how to do what I call belly breathing or diaphragmatic breathing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people breathe up into their chest and do very shallow breathing. Mm-hmm. So I first teach people how to breathe into their bellies, mm-hmm. and then use their abdominal muscles to exhale, to like press their breath out. So you're both using the abdominal muscles. You're also strengthening the diaphragm, which is a muscle that's the primary muscle for your breathing.
Okay.
Sits right underneath your rib cage.
Okay. So you start there,
and that exercise, because you're using your abdominals to exhale and really working up towards strongly using your abdominals to exhale, those muscles get strong, the abdominals get strong without doing sit-ups. So when you have diastasis, you don't want to do sit-ups or any kind of crunches. It makes the separation worse. So by using the belly to breathe, you're strengthening the abdominal wall, the transverse abdominis muscles, which helps bring the rectus abdominis closer, or the six-pack muscles closer together to heal the gap. By doing that breathing, a lot of times right after labor, even if someone's had a baby years before, a lot of times people can't feel their breath like kind of past their ribs. So I start by helping people get their breath lower and lower and lower until they can start to feel their breath in their pelvis or in the pelvic floor.
Whoa.
And then once you can feel that kind of expansion, so think again of the jellyfish, the expansion of the breath, mm-hmm. in the pelvic floor, then from there it's like when you exhale without even contracting, like you could try it right now, when you exhale, you generally feel kind of like everything sinks or comes closer together.
Yep, feeling
so,
that.
Yeah, and that's the beginning of a contraction. So contract actually means to squeeze, right? Contract,
so you do gentle, like breathing, opening up your pelvic floor, and mm-hmm. then as you exhale, you let all the breath go, including down there, so that it comes back together.
So it starts to come back together, and then once you can start to feel everything kind of coming closer, that's the beginning of the contraction. So then from there, begin to squeeze, mm-hmm. and you want to hold that squeeze through your whole exhale. And that's
doing it right now, guys. Doing it right now.
Yeah. So learning to doing these kinds of exercises, and that's kind of the basic. But then I'll work with different areas of the pelvis, so more in the back muscles of the pelvic floor, the vaginal muscles, and then up in the front by the pubic bone or around like the clitoris.
Yeah, because they're all different, and yet here we are. Like I can't feel the difference, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? For me, I'm definitely one of those cases of a person who's like, oh, it's just squeeze, release, squeeze, release. It's not like varying areas of stuff down there.
Yeah.
I just got my first period back, mm-hmm. after having a baby, which, because I've been breastfeeding, your mm-hmm. body goes into a menopausal state and you don't get your period for a long time. Yeah. So Albie's almost 8 months and I just got my first period. So it was my first time ever like using a tampon, which I was so scared to do because my group of mom girls, my swim club, they're my group of mommies, and they were all saying, oh God, wait till you get your first period. It is not fun. And a lot of them had already gotten it. So I was like ready.
Yeah.
And I got it. And I have to say the tampon was fine, but I do think something might be happening with my pelvic floor because I was walking around with it and it was like kind of falling out. Mm. And I've never had that happen before. Is that a thing?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, God. Great. Like, I remember walking, like, halfway down the street and being like, oh, my God, I think my tampon's, like, halfway out. And I know, like, I put it in really well. But so is that a case of, like, your pelvic floor muscles are not able to hold up?
Yeah,
because of the trauma.
Stretched out, not necessarily from the trauma, but they're more stretched out and they're not like holding, squeezing in.
Except
as much.
When I have sex with my husband, he says it feels the same. I'm just going on record saying
well,
that.
Well, that's great. That's
and great. I ask. The vagina is a mystery, you guys. It is a real...
It is really a mystery.
It is really insane. Like, I don't... Sure. So,
but what you could try is, have you ever heard of the Diva Cup?
Explain this to me.
So it's a little, like, silicone cup.
That you put up there put and collects the period, right?
Yeah, so it's, like, round, like, you know, maybe, like, an inch diameter.
Yes.
And you fold it in half and fold it again, and then you... Put
insert
it up
it.
Your vagina and you make sure there's like a suction so that it's, you know,
in place.
And they have different sizes. So they have a size for before you've had a baby and then for after you've had a baby. And the one that for after you've had a baby is bigger because the vagina is bigger. Oh. I don't know. Maybe and you know, it is a vaginal canal. So there's different parts of it. There's the opening, there's the middle, there's the back up by your cervix.
Maybe Adam's just trying to be so nice.
Well, no, I mean, it could be more open or tight in different parts of the vagina. And maybe that's what he's feeling.
I have no idea.
Like more the opening of your vagina.
Everyone's loving this Diva Cup.
Yeah, they're great.
So you put it up there and it holds your period and then...
It catches the blood.
Do people who come to see you, are some of them in pain when they have to insert tampons? Is that...
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh my God, being a girl is so insane. I mean, I'm sorry for the few men that you also see that have problems, but it sounds like it's mostly women. It's just, it's like, it is insane.
Yes.
Like, I can't tell you how many times it happens to me now where if I feel a sneeze coming on and I haven't emptied my bladder in like a little bit of, you know, like I pee every 1 to 2 hours, whatever. Yeah. But like, if it's, you know, been 3 or 4 hours, I'm going to the bathroom and I sneeze, like I definitely pee a little bit and I definitely have to go change my underwear. Like, what a bummer.
Yeah.
And I'm not even, and I think I want to have another kid maybe. Mm-hmm. So like what? Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. Is it worth getting it back before you're thinking about having another baby? Or is it just like blow the whole thing out and come see you later?
No. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like for the women who are more physically fit, they're going to have an easier time afterwards. So it's the same thing. You want to work to get it. I mean, unless you're having kids like right after the other, it's better if you work on strengthening before you have another baby. Generally, it's more difficult after a second baby. It's just, you know, more stretching, more, you know, so it's better if you can do some work on it before having a second baby.
This is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Are there other things that you recommend besides a yoni egg that like...
I tell people to practice. So with the, you know, we'll work with the different areas of the pelvic floor, but when we're working with the vaginal canal, I work with feeling, being able to squeeze in the different parts of the vaginal canal, which for most people is really, really difficult to feel. The opening. Okay, up by your cervix, you know, it's challenging. And so what I tell people to do is to get some kind of a dildo or like a wand. They have really nice, you know, like you get like a crystal wand, you know. So to use that, just insert it and then squeeze against that to be able to
feel the different, like, okay, now I'm squeezing this wand at towards the top.
Yeah.
Now I'm squeezing it towards the bottom. Yeah. And is there even a middle? Good Lord. Like, I mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
And people can do that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's how I started learning all this stuff. Wow. Because that was one of my tantra yoga exercises. So,
wow.
Yeah. So and the reason being, it's like, you know, you can do air push-ups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do like a push-up against the wall or the floor, and you're going to feel your muscles a lot more when you have that resistance to press against.
Of course.
So it's the same thing inside of your vagina, which is even if you're not working on trying to find the different locations, even just to feel the squeeze, it's going to help. And you're like, oh, I can feel my vagina squeezing because I can feel it pushing
against something.
Yeah. So that helps build your muscles strong, like, you're going to have a little bit quicker of a success rate with that. So that's one of the things I tell people to do. There's also the LV. It looks kind of like a yoni. I mean, it's not like a stone, but it's a round thing that you put inside, and it has an app where you can test, like, it'll test, like, your strength level.
Is there any other things you want to touch upon or...
Yeah, I mean, I would say just start talking about it with your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, just get the conversation going. And
because we are not alone.
You're not alone. And, you know, if someone's
And there's
not,
help out there, too. A lot of women don't even know that.
Yeah.
That there's people that they can see and exercises that they can do.
And if your girlfriend hasn't experienced it, she's not, I'm sure she'd be interested or probably knows other people. So I would just encourage everyone to start talking about it and sharing. And the more you talk, the more, you know, the more that collectively people can get help and heal and
amazing.
Not have to live their lives peeing in their pants.
Yeah, no thanks.
Having pains and...
And enjoying sex more.
Enjoying sex and feeling actually, you know, just helps with connectivity to yourself. Feeling more, you know, you put so much energy into your baby. It's like, it's huge self-care and giving your own body attention that your body really craves and needs, so...
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you, Priya, so much for being on Katie's Crib.
Thank you.
That's all we've got for you for this episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear what's next. Thanks for listening to Katie's Crib.